Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the In the Saddle podcast. My name is Chris Loader, and I am joined by Katie Midwinter, as we'll be previewing Jump's finale day at Sandown. It's an absolute cracking card, and can't wait to get stuck into it. Katie, what were your feelings on this card? Do you think it's good?
I think it's a brilliant card. I think the fact that Willie Mullins is chasing this British Championship title is a really added an extra element to the end of the season, and whereas usually, you know, it would be a decent card at Sandown, I'd say, but this is just a fantastic card, isn't it? All the Irish Raiders coming over, the chance to see some huge clashes. We're going to get the El Fabiolo, John Bon rematch, finally. Third time lucky, I think it is now. So it's going to be fantastic. I'm really, really looking forward to it. It's a great way to end the season.
Yeah, most certainly is, and we'll be previewing that shortly. But the first race we're going to look at then is the 150 at Sandown. It's the Bet365 Novices Championship Final Handicap Hurdle. Very competitive race, 20 runners going to post. This was a good race last year. We had Under Control and Iberico Lords finish 1 and 2 for Nicky Henderson. So, yeah, it is a race that can throw up some nice horses. And Fiercely Proud is your favourite at the time recording. He's 7-1. We've then got Panjari along with Secret Squirrel and Still Alley all at 10-1. Be Aware for the Skeletons along with Court in the Act and Firefly at 12s. And Big R the rest. So, Katie, come to you first. This looks very competitive, very tricky, but did you have one or two maybe at a big price for the listeners?
Yeah, I'm quite keen on Secret Squirrel for Hughie Morrison. The Hughie Morrison yard has been in good form recently, performing at a 30% strike rate. But I just really like Secret Squirrel now. We all know that he's a beautiful looking horse, isn't he? He's really an eye catcher on looks anyway. But I think the form that he's shown, he's proven that he possesses plenty of ability. In the National Hunt races that he's raced in, he hasn't finished outside of the top two yet in six starts. I finished fourth on the flat at Southall, but other than that, he's been finishing either first or second in his races, and he's shown a consistent level of form as well. Whereas compared with a horse such as Panjari, who actually I'm a big fan of, I think has got a lot of potential, he's been quite in and out. I think he's partially handicapped at 136. I was telling you this earlier, wasn't I? The fact that Freddie Gingell's claiming five aboard Panjari definitely helps his chances, but I think 136 is quite harsh in comparison with a few of the others here, considering the form that he has shown. But anyway, going back to Secret Squirrel, I just think a mark of 126 is probably better than that. I think he has the scope to improve to a much higher level than that. So I'd be hoping that this is the race in which he can prove that he's better than 126. I'm quite keen on his chances. I'll give a mention to one at a bigger price, and it's a four-year-old in here. I think four-year-olds have won this race twice in the past three renewals, so that bodes well for Anne Brave and Fassa, who I've been following all season, son of Camelot. He finished eighth in the Boodles Juvenile Handicap Hurdle at Cheltenham the last time, and actually ran well for a long way there, just weakened in the end and couldn't really get among the places. But I thought it was a fair performance from him, second to Burdett Road earlier in the season. Beat Balboa then at Cheltenham too. Wasn't the best race of his at Musselburgh, but I think he's a fair horse on his day, and the record of the four-year-olds in here as well, it would give me some confidence that he could run a big race at 22-1. So I'll give him a mention.
Okay, a couple there at prices from Katie. I thought this was a really tricky race. I didn't have a particularly strong fancy. The one I was, I'd say, drawn to was Firefly for Harry Cobden and Paul Nichols. He was pulled up last time we saw him in the EBF final at Sandown, but the ground that day was very soft, and Paul Nichols was pulled in the stewards room afterwards, and he said that the ground wasn't ideal for him. But if you go back to his two races before that, he did beat Secret Squirrel by a neck, and then he bolted up at Wincanton. He's got a lot of good form next to his name, and I do think he's better than his mark of 126. He might not be the most straightforward of horses, but I think the ground will be a little bit better for him this time around. And I think the drop back to 2 miles as well would definitely suit him. Paul Nicholls does have a good record in this race. He's won it in the past with the likes of Nappers Hill. And I do think Firefly has a good chance here. And it's interesting to see that Harry Cobden's riding him instead of Panjari. So if I had to give a selection, I'd probably just go with Firefly. But I don't really have a very strong opinion on this race at the time of recording. I just think Firefly could definitely maybe outrun his odds. So that's our thoughts then on the opening race. We're now going to move on to the 2:25. This looks a little bit of a rogue's gallery, to be honest with you. It's the Bet365 Oaksea Chase. It's a grade two, and the Real Whacker is the favourite at 5-2. We then got Hitman wearing the first time blinkers at 3-1. Easy Game at 11-2. Galore 13-2. Our Dancer 8-1. Fantastic Lady 16s. And Straw Fan Jack is the outsider at 25-1. Katie, this race is tricky, not for the sense of horses are coming in here in excellent form, but there's a lot of horses that are kind of out of form and maybe need to take a step forward. A muddling race, isn't it?
It definitely is. I don't think you can trust many of these horses, really. They're quite in and out on their form. I think looking at the Real Whacker, I mean, we know that he's shown a high level of ability in the past, but hasn't really shown it this season in open company. I think you can forgive his first race of the season. He carried top weight at Cheltenham and he was found to be lame after the race too. So you can put a line through that. But he was well beaten in the King George. Better in the Cotswold Chase than behind Capodanno, but still not the level that he'd shown in his novice campaign. And then pulled up in the Gold Cup the last time. I think he's got plenty to prove, and I wouldn't be taking a price of 9-4 about him. I think Hitman, similar fashion, first time blinkers on for him. Ran really well behind Shishkin in the Denman Chase at Newbury, and the form's been frank there with Protectorat and Sam Brown, and as you know, in behind him that day, all winning since Protectorat in the Ryanair Chase, of course. But Hitman was really disappointing in the Ryanair, beaten 35 lengths by Protectorat. So he's going to need to find more. He was beaten by Garlaw in his previous race as well before running at Newbury too. So he has to reverse that form. And then we've got Easy Game, who probably have to fear, or obviously have to fear, Willie Mullins' horse coming over. And plenty of them have been coming over this past week or so. But I don't think he's quite good enough. I know his first run of the season, well, in September, really, he had been running during the summer, but in September, he beat Gentleman's Game and Envoy LN at Gowran Park in the grade two. So he has proven form at this level, but I feel as though he benefited from the fitness edge on that day, and it was a smaller field than he'd been running in. So I think that's what probably allowed him to beat those two that were in behind him. Don't think he's quite at that level, really. So I'd have my doubts about him. So the one that I've gone for, I think, is more reliable, is Garlaw. And I think he's a decent each-way price as well at 13-2. As I mentioned, that Hitman has to reverse that form with him. He was pulled up in the Ryanair the last time, but I think you can forgive that run because he just failed to get into a rhythm. He was jumping poorly and had to be pulled up because he was losing ground. I don't think it was necessarily a reflection of his ability. I think it was just on the day he wasn't good enough. He wasn't jumping well enough. I think he's worth another chance, having a grade two anyway. We know that he's been running well in handicap company, but I think over this trip in a grade two here, in an open grade two as well, where there are a few doubts over those at the top of the market, I think Garlaw is the most reliable selection. So he's the one that I'm going to go for.
Okay, Galore is for Katie. Yeah, I think you could go around in circles with this race. I can see your case for Galore. The one I was taking a small punt on is the actual outsider of the field, Straw Fan Jack. He was on my radar for Cheltenham at the festival when he ran a blinder in the plate, staying on strongly actually at the end. He rallied really well up the hill. He obviously has miles to find on official ratings, but The one run that gives me hope that maybe he might be able to maybe surprise a few people is his run when he finished second behind Pick Dory. That arguably was probably right up there with his career best performance this season. Now, I know it says in the form book he was beaten 16 lengths, but if you go back and watch the replay, just at one point during that race, Pick Dory looked like he was in a little bit of trouble, and Straw Fan Jack was going really well. Now, he just lacked the class of Pick Dory that day, but it was still a really good run, and I think the step up and trip an extra couple of furlongs is interesting. He's only got one sibling, but his sibling's Farmer's Gamble, who's not a bad horse for Dan Skelton, who did win over 3 miles a couple of times during his career. So I do think that maybe stepping him up in trip is a bit of a shrewd move, and it maybe could pay off. He probably wouldn't be good enough to win, but he could maybe run a really good race and maybe finish second and third. And if you can get three places on offer, maybe with one or two bookmakers, he might be worth an each way bet. He's around about 25-1. With just so many of these being so untrustworthy, I think maybe you can use your imagination a little bit and try and think outside the box. And Straw Fan Jack, like I say, he does have one or two bits and pieces of form. He was fourth in an Arkle as well. So he is a horse that has been a good servant for these connections. And maybe in a race of this nature, he might be able to throw his hat into the ring. But yeah, he would have a bit to do on the rating. So that's the way I was kind of seeing the race there. Now I'm going to move on to what arguably is the best race on the card at Sandown. It's 3 o'clock. It's a Bet365 Celebration Chase. It's a Grade One, and as Katie said, we've got the rematch here between El Fabiolo and John Bon. El Fabiolo has been put in his favourite. He's odds on at 8-11. We've then got John Bon next in the betting at 9-4. Edward Stone at 8-1. Editor Dugui at 33s. Boot Hill 40s, along with Nuba Negra, and Elixir Donuts is the outsider. 50-1. Katie, this is a really good rematch, isn't it, between El Fabiolo and John Bon. John Bon comes in here as the form horse. El Fabiolo's got a bounce back. Do we think that come post time they could be a little bit closer together in the betting?
Possibly. I think 5-2, 9-4 is probably a little bit big for John Bon, because in my eyes, if they run to form, and if barring any mishaps, it is a two-horse race between El Fabiolo and John Bon. I think El Fabiolo is definitely the right favourite, and John Bon has to reverse the form from the Arkle last year. But after the Arkle, it sounded as if connections of John Bon thought maybe he didn't show the best of his ability there. I'm not sure that the best of John Bon is going to be the best of El Fabiolo, but as we saw the last time, and as we have seen in the past as well, El Fabiolo has got a mistake in him, and he's threatened to do that before over his fences. He's got away with it before, and I think maybe his style of jumping, it probably allows him to be slicker over his fences and faster, but it does also run the risk of a mistake, and that's what happened last time, unfortunately, on the biggest stage of all for him. As long as he's recovered fine from that and he hasn't knocked his confidence at all, I think he's going to win here. I think he's going to return to form. I hope it will be a good race, and I do hope they'll be quite close. It'd be amazing if they were jumping the last together and we had a real ding-dong battle. But I fear that El Fabiolo is just a bit superior to John Bon, and this is quite a quick turnaround for John Bon as well here. So I'd be in favour of El Fabiolo, but I'd be hoping that we could see a good race, and I'd be happy enough to see John Bon prove me wrong as well, because I think he's a brilliant horse who, at plenty of occasions, he's been unfairly criticised, often because of his price tag, because he's a brother to Duvan. But I hope they both run to form and we see a really, really great race. It would be fantastic to see.
Yes, certainly it would. I'm firmly in the John Bon camp here. I just think that Sandown's going to be a tricky track for El Fabiolo, with the fact that he does tend to make maybe one or two mistakes in a race, and obviously it did punish him last time out in the Champion Chase. But when they go down the back there with those railway fences coming thick and fast, if you make a mistake there, you can really throw your race away. at Sandown. So that would be a major concern. John Bunn, on the other hand, loves it round Sandown. He's been there a few times in his career. He won this race last year. He's won the Tingle Creek. So this is a home game for John Bunn. We saw him put up a good effort last time out. I just think that this track maybe suits John Bunn a little more than it does El Fabiolo. So that's why I'm kind of in his camp. And I wouldn't be at all surprised, actually. Willie Mullins has had quite a few horses. Yes, he's had one or two winners come over here, and it is like kind of throwing darts to win the Trainers' Championship. But a lot of his horses that have been well fancied haven't necessarily turned up. So that is another thing just to put into maybe the equation as well.
Just to mention, though, do you think sometimes some of the horses that he has been sending over this week, they're probably shorter than they should be on form because they're trained by Willie Mullins? Not necessarily that they should have run better. Maybe they were just too short to reflect their ability.
There's definitely an element of truth in that, I think. Bookmakers are wanting to keep Willie horses on side, probably because people are trying to do the Ackers and that. But I think there have been definitely a couple of horses as well that maybe haven't quite run to form. So it's just something to maybe consider. But I do think John Bunn, like I say, Sandown is his track. I can't see El Fabiolo taking it into it that well myself, but maybe I could be proved wrong. But for me, at the price of John Bond 9-4, I think that is a little bit too big and they should be a little bit more close together. So it'd be interesting to see how the market reacts come the day. So we're now going to move on to the 3:35 now, which is the big staying handicap chase. It's the Bet 365 Gold Cup handicap chase. Kitty's Light is going for back-to-back wins in the race. He's your 9-2 favourite. We've then got Am I Right next in at 8-1 with Flamilos. Nick Rocket is also 8-1 along with 3 under 3-5. Manella Kakuna's 9-1. And bigger are the rest. Kitty's Light, he's been a great horse for Christian Williams. He's run well in this race plenty of times over the years. Do we think he'll defend his crown?
I think he's got a great chance of doing that, and it looks like he's going to get better ground that is going to suit him. He's a strong stayer. He's on a handy enough mark. He was very good in the Aintree Grand National the last time, wasn't he, when he finished fifth? He's got a great chance. Bit short for me at 9-2 in a race like this. There's so many horses in here that you can make a case for. I will give a shout to Am I Right, who should love better ground. He's been threatening to win a big prize like this. Sent off his favourite in the Irish Grand National last year, but the ground just went against him on that occasion. But better ground definitely going to suit him. I think Manella Kakuna was really impressive the last time at Fairy House 2, finished third, carrying top weight. So it was a good performance from him. And he's another horse that I think actually the better ground might suit him. So I'd give him a chance as well. But I'm going to narrow it down to two because I think we could go through the whole field here. There's so many old favourites that have a chance. Too many to mention, really. But I give a shout to two of my old favourites anyway. One is Rapper and one is Fortescue, both for Henry Daly. I think they're both on handy enough marks. The better ground will suit them both. They're strong stayers. I'd give them both a really good each way chance. Rap at 25-1 and Fortescue at 33-1. Fortescue, this is a second run after a wind operation as well. That's usually the time I like to catch a horse. So with that in mind too, I think that Fortescue could run a really big race. But don't forget Rapper.
Okay, a couple then from Casey. Big prices. I'm looking towards the old boys in this race. I thought Sam Brown was too big of a price. He's currently 33-1 at the time recording. But he's just a horse that keeps surprising people. Just when you think he's had a hard race, he just keeps bouncing back. And maybe this time it might be one too many. But the way that he rallied at Aintree was really eye-catching. He did really well that day. He was running off a mark of 154, and he's going to be running off the same mark here. The handicap has actually put him up £4 since, but because this is one of those races where you make your entry early, he's actually £4 well in. He's just been in the form of his life this season. If you go back beforehand, he won a very good veterans chase, beating the likes of Two for Gold at Ascot. He's won the veterans final this year at Warwick. You know, he's just a horse that keeps coming to the table and more often than not delivering and running really big races. And I just think 33-1 with Freddie Gingell claiming £5, that's a huge price. And for me, I think he'll run a big race here. He might not be good enough to win. Maybe he might not be the strongest stayer over the extended trip, but you definitely have to respect the form he arrives there in. And he tends to do well at this time of year as well. He's won at Punchestown before. So, I think he's got a good chance. The other one I quite liked was Certainly Red for Lydia Richards. He actually finished third in that veterans race I was just talking about, behind Sam Brown. He was only 1 3/4 lengths back behind him, but he's now started to become really well handicapped, especially on some of his form from last season. He actually ran in this race last season off a mark of 1.42, and he's now running off a mark of 1.35. So he is definitely well handicapped. He prefers a better ground. He showed that he loves this course as well by finishing second here a few starts ago and then third in the London National behind Truckers Lodge. He's got bags of stamina. The ground shouldn't be a problem. He's very well handicapped. He's run about 25-1. I do think he's got a good chance as well, with many bookmakers like to play extra places. So I'm looking towards the old boys here. But yeah, very competitive race, and it'd be interesting to see how it plays out. So that's our thoughts then on the Bet365 Gold Cup. We're now going to move on to the 410, where we've got another rematch this time. It's the Bet365 Select Hurdle. It's a grade 2 over 2.5 miles. Imperial Passage of favourite at even money. We've then got Langadan next in 3-1. Bally Adam 8s. Sir Gerhard 10s. Blue King Darude 20s. Brewing Up Storm 25s. Botox has 33s and Call Me Lord 66s. Again, Katie, this is another cracking race. We've got the rematch of Imperial Pass Langadan. Do we think the celebration chases between these two?
I don't think it's as obviously between these two as the celebration chases between John Bonner and Fabiola. I think this is a deeper race that you can make a case for a few in here. On their day, they can run a big race. There's very little between Imperial Pass and Langadan on entry form, isn't there? But I think if they're both at their best, I'd say Imperial Pass has the most scope for improvement here. His form's very good. He's done little wrong in his career, really. He was really good winner of the Ballymore last year, beating Gaelic Warrior, beaten by Tiupu State Man earlier this season. Third when he was beaten 10 lengths in the Irish Champion Hurdle, but there was a change of tactics on that occasion that didn't really play to his favour. But I thought he was good the last time. I personally thought that Bob Ollinger should have got the race in the stewards room, but I think it was between the top three. You could have made a case for all of them winning the race. In the end, it just turned into a bit of a messy finish, didn't it? But I think Imperial Pass at his best is probably better than Langadan. So I'd probably say Imperial Pass is the most reliable win selection in here. From an each way perspective, though, I'm quite keen on Sir Gerhard. He's been a horse that's difficult to place because it didn't work out for him over fences. He never looked as though he was going to be the most natural chaser. He didn't take to it, but he's a slick hurdler. He doesn't have the stamina for 3 miles, maybe isn't quite quick enough for 2 miles. So it's hard to know where exactly to put him. There wasn't really a race for him at the Cheltenham Festival. Ended up running in the stayers in the end, and he just didn't have the stamina at all. But ran well at Cork, and his subsequent appearance will have to build on that to have any kind of impact on this race. But I think this is his optimum trip, and I say he's being underestimated here because he's 10-1. They're paying three places. I think he's a cracking each way bet, and he's probably the one that I prefer to go for. I don't think I'd be taking even money on Imperial Pass. I'd rather go each way on Sir Gerhard.
Okay, each way for Sir Gerhard it is for Katie. Yeah, I'm kind of coming round with you, like looking at the each way angle here. You've got eight runners. The one I think is slightly overpriced is Blue King Darude for Paul Nicholls. He, compared to a lot of these, arrives here with a fresher prep. He's not been seen since he finished fifth in the Long Walk Hurdle. Now, I know it might sound disappointing that he finished fifth, but you've got to remember, he was only a four-year-old going into that race. And four-year-olds in those staying races don't necessarily think have the best record. But if you go back two starts ago, he actually beat Strong Leader at Ascot when, okay, he was getting the weight for age allowances, but the way he won it that day showed that he was no mug. And I just think he's a horse that's got a bit of a touch of class about him. He's still only five, still very young. He'll like this ground as well. It'll really suit him. And he's just not been to the well that much this season, where a few of the others, like the likes of Langadan and Perry Pass, Ballyadam, Brewing Up a Storm, that they've all kind of been running a lot this season, where we've only seen him 3 times. And I do think that coming here fresh stands him in good stead here. He's 20-1. I do think that's a bit too big. And with some of his form earlier in the season, he always tends to go well off a break as well, goes well fresh. So at 20-1, I do think Blue King Daru at Meeting the Nichols always likes to do well at it. It is overpriced there. So I wouldn't be at all to see him run a big race. So that was my thinking there in the select hurdle. But now we're going to move on to the 4:45, which is the Bet365 Josh Gifford Novices Handicap Chase. Nickelback is your favourite at 100-30. Outlaw Peter is next in at 9-2. Matador 15-2. Mayhem Mayor 12s, along with Persian Time. Teresita 12s as well. Bigger are the rest. Katie, interesting little race this. We've got a few horses coming in here in form. Are you going to be signing in with one of those contenders?
To be honest, I think there's so much racing on Saturday. There are plenty of other races that I had more of an interest in than this one. I think it's a very good race on paper, but there wasn't a horse that I had a strong fancy about in this race. I think it's quite a tricky one, so it's one that I'll sit out and just watch with interest.
Yeah, like I say, you don't have to bet in every race, but if you did want a selection, I thought this was quite open. Might just look at Golden Sun. I just think that he's a horse that on his day is a very good horse, and he's maybe doesn't always he's the most he's might not be the most reliable of horses, but I do think, like I say, on his day he's a very capable horse. He won two starts ago at Kempton, beating Heltnam, who went on to frank the form in that time period. He went on to win a couple of races at Newbury, including the Great Wood Handicap. Things just didn't go right last time out, but I think coming back here, he's had a little bit of a break off a mark of 137. If he can bounce back to his form at Kempton, he's overpriced in my opinion. He's wearing the first time blinkers. For me, I think off a mark of 137, he's got a good chance. I just don't think he wants soft ground. I think he wants good ground. So the current description of good ground would definitely be in his favor. And like some of these, Outlaw Peter, Nickelback, Persian Time, they've all been seen in the last couple of weeks, so I'll be looking to oppose those kind of horses and maybe looking at something that's had a little bit of time off. But as Kate said, it is quite a tricky race, and they'll probably have a better betting opportunities on the cards. We then move over to the last race of the jump season. It is the Bet365 Handicap Hurdle, a race that I've got quite a good record in, so hopefully I can find the winner. It's Pick Rock and Sir Majest at the top of the bet, and both are 7-1 favourites. We then got Email Andy next in at 8-1, Look Away at 9s, Authorised Speed at 10s, Bad at 11-1, Gold Dancer 11s, Bigger are the rest. Katie, again, so many in here with a chance. It's really hard to find the winner of this one, isn't it?
Yeah, no, it's a tricky race. Again, there's so many great races on the card and really competitive too, which makes for great viewing. But I'm really keen on the chances of Look Away. I think a mark of 137 is quite lenient for him. A second Siberica Lord early in the season, finished 4.5 lengths ahead of Lachia. That form has been franked. He was second in the Challenge Novices Hurdle. He beat the Jukebox Man, who you're a big fan of, and has finished second in two Grade Ones since. Now rated 148. He won a Grade Two in a bumper, beat the likes of Blow Your Wad, Vasco Boy, Chianti Classico there. Won a Grade Two as a novice earlier this season as well. I think 137 is a really lenient mark for him, and I'd be hoping he can run a big race.
Okay, that's Katie's thoughts then. On the last, the one I quite liked here, it's probably my strongest fancy of the weekend actually at a price, is Arcoob for Brani Frost and Lucy Wadham. This horse has been racing a lot, but he seems to take his racing in okay, and he just loves going around right-handed tracks on good ground. He's a course winner here. He won here back in November. He finished third at this meeting last year behind Under Control. And the last time we saw him, he actually wasn't beaten that far behind Doyen Quest. He finished eighth that day, but he was only beaten three lengths. And I just think the application of cheek pieces are interesting here. Sandown can be a track sometimes, especially on the hurdle course, that it can be hard to come from off the pace. And if Brani does decide to go to the front, like she's been doing a lot recently and doing very well, she might get him into a good rhythm and be good enough to at least be in there for a place, you know. And I think at 33-1, that's a good each way bet there. Like I say, a track, the horse goes that well, the conditions should be fine. Wasn't a bad run last time out. If the cheek pieces work with Lucy Wadham in really good form, I wouldn't be at all surprised to see that horse run a good race. So, yeah, Arcoob for me in the 520. So that rounds off all the races at Sandown. There's plenty of good racing going on elsewhere, Katie. Is there anything else you wanted to talk about?
Yeah, there's a few I like at Navan. The first being in the 217 there. I'm a big fan of Give Me the Beat Boys. It was unfortunate that he was taken out on the vet's advice in the Breeders' Cup. But he's a grade three winner. Jessica Harrington has a great record in this race as well. She's won it three times. Shane Foley on board, he's run it twice. He goes well fresh, this horse, too. So the time off, it wouldn't worry me too much. I think he's a class of the field, and I'd be hoping he could have a big season ahead of him. I'm a big fan of him. So I'm firmly with Give Me the Beat Boys there. In the 252, there's two that caught my eye in here. The first is Purple Lily. She's been running fantastically well for Paddy Twomey. And Belletza as well, for Jay Lyons. I think she's going to have a good each way chance in here. Don't yet know the prices in those races, but they're two fillies that would really interest me. And then looking to Haydock as well, there's one of my old favourites running in the 245, and that's Zip. He'll relish the soft conditions at Haydock. Soft at Haydock is usually pretty testing, as we know. So hopefully it stays that way for Zip anyway, because he will thrive in the softer going. He's on a handy enough mark now as well. I'd be hoping he can make the frame at least. And then one quick mention at Doncaster to Snazzy Jazzy in the 640, another one on a handy mark. Ran well in a couple of handicaps last season. Maybe could be available at a big price. I'd be hoping that he could outrun his odds.
Okay, a few then to watch out for from Katie. I just got one at Leicester in the King Richard III handicap. Miss Cantic for Amy Murphy did really well in these colours with Pride of America last season. And this filly ran some really good races in France, including in some listed races. She managed to get a bit of black type for Amy Murphy out there, finishing second behind Dancing Goddess at Paris-Longchamp. But I just think she's interesting coming over here. She's a bit of a free horse. She is a front runner, but those tactics at Leicester, especially if the ground is riding on the soft side, can often be good tactics. And she goes well fresh. She's off a mark of 99. Just thought a few of these were exposed, where she could still have a little bit more potential. And I think around about 9-1, with the yard not going along too badly, they had a winner yesterday at Catterick. She might be able to go well. So that was the way I was thinking there. But that's my other selection then for this weekend. So thanks again for Katie for giving up her time. Hopefully we found you some winners this week at Sandown. Enjoy the jumps finale there. Remember to follow us on social media, where we're on Twitter and Instagram at In The Saddle Pod. Please remember to gamble responsibly, and we'll be seeing you again soon.